They teach us that birth needs medical intervention, that labor hurts, so we wonder why we should go through pain to welcome our baby into the world. Then we hear about obstetric violence that leaves us with a bitter taste, birth experience, and a feeling that there must be more to birth. I hear all of this, and I believe with all my heart that another reality is possible. That as women, we all have the keys inside us to birth our babies and their placentas. My name is Mags, and with my husband Keith, we are the Quantic Family. Every week, I get the privilege to sit with passionate people that speak to us authentically about birth and the quantic energy around pregnancy, birth, and beyond. My intention is to diffuse their messages to allow you to make enlightened choices that truly resonate with who you are. I see this podcast as a caring and intimate place where you can allow yourself to be who you truly are and reconnect to the power within you to accompany your baby on his journey. I also wish for your partner to find his place in the middle of this transformational process so that together you become the strong foundation of your family. I truly believe that along we go faster, but together we go further. So join us. Together, let's come out of the belief system created by our society and reconnect with our intuition. Each birth is unique. May yours be truly authentic. What a pleasure to be back with you in this new year 2021. My name is Mags, and I hope you are ready to launch this new year's journey towards your true and authentic self. I've prepared for you fantastic episodes with passionate people, and surprises are to come along. I am still passionate about birth and the quantic around pregnancy, birth, and beyond. Before I leave you with today's episodes, I am so happy to tell you that Keith and I, the Quantic Family, we've prepared for you a series of three free videos to involve your partner in making childbirth an enhanced, positive, and transformational experience. You will find the link to this series underneath the podcast episode. And you can also find it in our link tree on Instagram and Facebook. Each birth is unique. Make yours be truly authentic. Hello, 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 and welcome to the podcast Authentic Birth. My name is Mags, and with my husband, Keith, we are the Quantic Family. You can find us on the social media, and we're here to support couples going through pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. So today, I am really happy to have Bree Moore with me. Hello, Bree.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for saying yes to this invitation. We had such a wonderful talk about free birthing and this capacity that all women have inside them in birthing their children. So Bree, you're now the mother of six.
Yes.
You had four free births, and your last free birth was very not that long ago, right?
Right. It was in December last year.
Well, in December. So your baby is turning 4 months.
That's right. Oh. Yeah.
Well, and so you're an author. You write, you've got some, how do you say, you
have a book called Birth Becomes Hers, where you've grouped amazingly well stories of women. So can you tell us about this book and why it's so important for women to read about birth stories?
Yes. Birth Becomes Hers was a project I started after my third free birth, during my pregnancy, my third free birth. And it was because, first of all, that stories had inspired me so much during all of my pregnancies. When you can't rely on studies, or there aren't any studies on a certain topic, like free birth, for instance, there just aren't any studies on the, you know, safety of free birth. And then you have to find another source to rely on for your information. And for me, that source was other women. Because if other women were telling their stories of successful, beautiful, empowering births by themselves with their families at home, then of course it was possible and of course it was safe. And it didn't matter what the numbers said or what the doctors said or any of that. What mattered was that real women were having real experiences that I wanted to have the same experience, you know? So listening to them was more valuable to me than listening to a doctor who's looking at numbers and guarding their, you know, medical license. And so I think that stories are more reliable than the numbers that studies give us most of the time. And that's also to say that even if a study is very unbiased or it does have very accurate data, there will always be women, people that don't fit those numbers. And so how are you to decide if you are the kind of woman that fits the numbers? And I think that knowing comes from within. And so by reading more stories, and not just any birth story, right? Because there are plenty of women, unfortunately, who will share very willingly their trauma story. And you have to be careful listening to trauma stories, because they imprint on you, especially during that sacred and special time when you're growing a baby and giving birth. And so it's not that you need to be rude to women sharing their trauma story. They're trying to heal. They're trying to feel better about their experience. So there's a place for that. But you need to seek out the positive and empowering stories, the real stories of women having the kind of birth that you want to have. And so seeking out stories of home birth and family birth is very important. And I just noticed when I was going through my pregnancies preparing for free birth, the books that had free birth stories in them only had a handful of stories. And I wanted a place where women could go and read dozens of stories all at once. And so that's how Birth Becomes Hers came about. It was me sharing my journey of free birth and then gathering the stories of other women. And there's over 40 stories in that book. So,
yeah, it's amazing. There's really different types of stories. And what you were telling me is that you took everybody's stories and you made them, because you're an author. Sorry, the word is tricky for me to pronounce in French, in English, but you reshape them, because that's what you love doing. And it's a book that really, like, I had goosebumps because I could really feel the authenticity. And what I like what you're saying is that, yes, medical studies brings you medical data, but it removes all the emotional side of things and the storytelling of these birth stories that are success.
Yeah, it really does just take out like an entirely human component that is essential. And it's the same component that gets removed when you give birth with a medically minded provider. They completely take out that human element a lot of the time, and just, you know, put you on the conveyor belt through their their policies and procedures. And it's really tragic to me that we can't somehow meld the two and take into account the humanness and the miracles and the power we all have, because that is a very real thing. I have read stories, and the most incredible stories, of, you know, women who have had 3, 4, 5 cesarean sections, and then they have a vaginal birth at home by themselves with their family, and it's the most incredible healing. And yet, if you had asked almost any medical provider, that would have been impossible. You know, they would use those words. It's impossible. It's not something you can do. And yet these women go and do it. And so that to me is just evidence that numbers might be impartial, but they are missing everything.
they're missing the mystic, the magical, the secret part of the experience.
Yes. Yes. They can't quantify that at all.
No. So before we go into this kind of intuition that you're talking about, that this woman after so many cesarean then goes for more like a free birth at home, can you tell us about what free birth means for you?
Yeah, it's going to have so many definitions for so many people. And I've had a lot of time to think about what free birth means to me. And to me, excuse me, free birth is when a woman is completely free. So she's not bound by any expectations, by any outside influence in her decisions regarding her birth. And what that looks like is, even if a woman decides to hire a provider, she can have a free birth. Though I've only read one story in the hospital that I would consider a free birth, where a woman had a provider who literally sat in the corner and they didn't, you know, have any influence on her, and she was completely in control. I guess I've read two now, actually. So two, and it's very rare in that setting, but you can have it, because if you are in complete alignment with the team that you have around you, and they literally have to accept all of your decisions, and they have to support every single aspect as you, and move with you, as I think what I'm looking for. So you have the freedom to move fluidly through each like part of your journey through pregnancy and birth. And at no point do you feel threatened or this weight of expectation from the other people who will be in your birth experience. And that's what free birth is. I don't particularly care for the term unassisted birth, even though that's usually an easier way to tell people what kind of birth you're talking about. Because I don't like it, because it implies that you have no support. And so many people assume that you cannot have a doula, and you cannot have a friend, and you cannot have even like a traditional midwife there. It doesn't count if you have support, but that's not it at all. You do not have to give birth alone to have a free birth. You just need to be untethered by all those expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you mean birth, obviously we talk about birth starting from first contraction to the delivering of the placenta.
I would even say, I mean, I'm going to go all the way back to pregnancy, and all the way back to conception even, because I see, I'm in so many free birth support groups, and I see these women planning an unassisted birth, and yet for whatever reason, and there's many valid reasons, but they have sought the prenatal care of a medical provider. And it, despite their knowing and despite their power and their strength and their decision to birth at home, they still are being forced into these expectations and these policies, and to check the boxes. And it causes so much stress that it can't help but affect the birth. in some way or another. It may that may be that at the end of their pregnancy, they get doubt put into them by their provider and they don't end up having that birth that they anticipated they would have. It may even just be that they have to come against this wall of dropping a provider because they've gone overdue or they're no longer fitting the box the provider wants them to. And so I think free birth really begins in pregnancy, choosing providers that are supportive. If you do need to see a provider for some reason, choosing providers who are not going to force you to be bound by certain expectations. And so birth obviously does mean, you know, contractions and you're having a baby, but it birth and the experience you have starts in pregnancy.
Yeah, absolutely. Because your wavelength changes all along the pregnancy. It's a transformational process, isn't it? That also
it is.
Continues in the postpartum and you're in the middle of yours at the minute.
Yes.
So can we talk about this capacity that we all have to actually make the right decisions for us?
Yeah, absolutely.
So this intuition, because you were sharing with me that it's during the arrival of your first baby that you realized how much of a transformational process birth was. And so you were not in a free birth position on that first.
I wasn't. With our first, I didn't know what I wanted at first. I knew nothing about giving birth. And I started researching and I came across the dangers of epidurals and hospital birth. And I determined that I did not want those things. And my husband at the time was very afraid. All of his siblings and his brother's wives, they had all had hospital births with epidurals. So we didn't know anything different. And I really challenged that in him. I wanted a home birth. I wanted a water birth. And he would not agree. And I came to the conclusion that it would be better to have his full support than to cause a fight between us. And so I chose to compromise and I accept that choice. That was my decision. And so we decided on he would support me in an unmedicated birth in the hospital, which we did have, and it did go very well. I just knew deep down that it wasn't the experience it could have been. And I knew that I wanted it different for the next one. It was such a strong, just knowing feeling. And the whole process really reflected how much I had wanted and needed a different experience. Just in we did come up against some like provider expectations in regards to me giving birth. I was a week overdue and GBS positive and just these things that would come up. And I know that when we're reaching for a goal or a vision we have, and these blockages, these obstacles come up in our lives, those are trying to get us to stop and reflect about the decisions we're making and the path we're taking. And sometimes we need to adjust our thoughts and our beliefs, and sometimes we need to completely adjust our course of action. And I firmly believe that if I had chosen home birth, there would have been so much less stress at the end. There would have been just a different feeling in the experience. It was a wonderful outcome. We had our natural birth. We had, you know, with very little trauma, nothing to speak of there. But I know that we would have reached different stages in our ability to follow intuition and to be united as a couple had we heeded like my intuition that was initially, I should have a home birth. So
that's very interesting that it's also very important to get the support from our partners. So you made this conscious decision to go with him and what he was ready to support you in, when do you think he shifted into actually letting you follow your full intuitions?
It was in my second pregnancy. I got pregnant about 10 months after having my first. So all my kids are very close together. And I was pregnant so soon, and I knew it was so fresh in my mind how much I'd wanted a home water birth. And so I knew that that's what I wanted. And I told my husband from literally the day after my son was born, I said, I will have a home birth for the next one. And he kind of laughed because like we had just had a baby. So, you know, he kind of thought I was crazy, I think, to be thinking about it so soon. But I knew what I wanted. So as soon as I had that positive pregnancy test, I was right there, like making the decision, looking at midwives. And I did stay with my first provider for a few visits to get the ultrasound and just check off that. But then at about 20 weeks pregnant, I was like, see you later. I had found a local midwife who she still practices. She's wonderful. And she is very traditional. I live in Utah, in the United States, and here in Utah, you can be an unlicensed midwife. You don't have to go through licensure. It's very open. There's a lot of options for women choosing home birth, which is incredible. And I wish it were that way in everywhere, because it's wonderful. So if you want to choose a place to live because of your birth options, come to Utah. It's really good here and such a supportive community. But we found a great midwife. My husband agreed to interview her with me so that he could ask any questions he had. And really, I think it was in that interview he realized that he had been kind of silly in his like assumption that home birth wasn't a good choice. And so he realized just how safe it is. She was able to give him all of her statistics and all of her, just all of her knowledge about the complications he was worried about. And so it really set his mind at ease. And it was a really wonderful thing that he came with me to that. But I think it was through that pregnancy and then having the home birth turn out so well that it just solidified, like, you know what you're talking about. But it's a process and a journey. Like, he trusted me up to a point, right? And then with our third, which was our first free birth, I was going to hire a midwife again because we'd had a good experience, but we had moved. And so we needed to find a new midwife. And I didn't like any of the ones that I was interviewing. They just didn't fit with my idea of how I wanted my prenatal care to look and my birth to look. And so I told my husband, I'm like, I don't think I want a midwife. I think I want to do it myself. And again, that just challenged his trust in me. And he had to take it another step further. So I think it's been gradual and a process, but ever since that third birth and that free birth, he has pretty much just handed the reins over and was kind of like, these were never mine to begin with. Like, this decision, you know, never needed to be mine. And this decision was yours, but his decision didn't really have the decision to choose how I would birth. It was his decision whether to trust me or not. And I think that's the important factor that women need to realize is you're not asking your husband for permission to give birth at home. You're asking him to trust your decision to give birth at home. And if you were to phrase it that way, do you trust me? Rather than, do you trust home birth? Because he doesn't, is the thing. There's very few men in the world who outright will just trust home birth with the society we have in the world today. And so you need to be asking the question, do you trust me to make the right decision for our baby, for my health? And if you ask it that way, you know, 9 times out of 10, he's going to say yes. And the times he doesn't say yes, maybe you need to see a marriage counselor. Maybe you need to work on the relationship more, because if he doesn't trust you, you know, but so many women are instead asking him to trust birth, and you need to ask him to trust you because that's who he trusts, is you. So I think that's like the key there, is asking your partner to trust your decision, rather than opening yourself up to all of his insecurity and fears in regards to home birth, which is important to talk about later, but asking him to trust you first and building on that trust.
That's amazing. That is so right. It's all about the relationship. And it's, the relationship is the foundation to everything, to your couple, but also to your family life, right? So it's such an important thing to look at when you're pregnant. Where is your relationship at? How much trust there is between the two of you? What I really love that you just share with us, and for me it just ticked, so I'm really glad you did, is you said, when I interviewed my midwife. You know, this is completely same as what you were saying about, do you trust me and not do you trust the birth? When you go and see a midwife, when you go and see a doula, when you go and see a supplier, you are interviewing them, and they are there for you. Wow.
Yes, every time. Every time. If you, even if you've been with them before and in a previous pregnancy, you go to a first visit, it is still an interview, and you can still at any time fire them if you need to. So many women don't frame it in their minds that they are hiring that provider to care for them in the ways that they expect. And that really, that puts you in the manager position, and that puts you in the seat of having the authority think of it like an employee. How would you treat that employee if they were not doing the job that you asked them to do, and if they were actually trying to usurp your position of authority in the company? It would be a completely different story than we hear so many times with birth nowadays. So yes, if women would interview and realize they can walk out of a meeting with a provider and say, that's not for me, and they can go find someone else, they can go interview someone else, there, you have options. Even if you think you don't have options, there are options. And so find that right path and find that right fit with a provider, if that's if you need to hire one, even with a doula or any birth support person, even with a family member like a mother or a mother-in-law who wants to attend your birth, your relationship with them is very essential to how your birth will go. And so realize that at any time you can ask them to not participate in that, or to maybe they need to leave the room, or if they're at your birth, if they aren't supportive of you, then they don't need to be there. And that's true of any provider, any person at your birth.
And there's two things there. There's really like, how do you get to tune in with your intuition? Because that comes from the intuition, right? It comes from the space of the heart. How do mm-hmm. we women get this trust to connect back in our hearts to make these decisions based on our intuition? Do you have any clues for us on that?
Practice, as difficult as that is, it's like, I would say it's like walking. It is a muscle you build. And in order to build that muscle, you need to look at your life and look at things that you are clinging to, beliefs or thoughts or processes that you're holding very tightly onto, and look for the discomfort in your life. Sometimes discomfort is indicative of you being on the right path, and if so, it's exciting. It might feel uncomfortable, but it's also exciting. Whereas if you feel discomfort and you feel fear and you feel small, then that is usually an indicator that you are not in the right path, and you might need to change something and look at the things. For me, It was looking at the things I feared very squarely in the face and getting knowledge about that thing so that it no longer scared me. It wasn't a mystery. So much of the time when we're afraid, it's because we don't know something and we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know what the possible outcomes are. So looking at something and finding out what the outcomes could be takes away the mystery and a lot of times takes away the fear. And so practice in your life what things pull you, what things repel you, and what are you drawn towards? Because if you're drawn towards something, that's a huge indicator that that path will teach you something and will be a good path for growth for you. And really, we ought to lean into growth. It's nice to be comfortable, but I think we are here to grow and to become the best versions of ourselves. So I try to lean into discomfort, the exciting kind of discomfort, as much as I can.
Well, which I think you do with the books you release, you have some novels too. You publish some.
I write fantasy.
Thank you. That's it. Sorry, mm-hmm. The word wasn't coming. You write fantasy, so you like pushing yourself out of your boundaries, right?
Yes.
What I loved that you share, you know, about going back into the providers is if you can't poop in front of someone, you won't be able to give birth in front of that person. And this is so true that like giving birth is part of the sexuality, is part of this, is the one of the most intimate moments you have in your life. So, mm-hmm. So the people that comes along this moment needs to be special for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I love that saying of if you can't poop in front of somebody, you can't birth in front of them. At the same time, though, I don't really care to poop in front of my husband, but I can definitely push a baby out with him. So it's not a perfect analogy, but it is a good way to frame it to help people understand just how vulnerable you are in your birthing experience and how you don't want a whole party there necessarily. Some women really do enjoy having a whole heap of people around, and that's wonderful. But I think that works best when you feel supported by every single one of the people in the room, right? So whether you have one person or you have 10 or however many you have, you really do have to make sure you're prepared to be stripped completely bare, literally and figuratively in front of them, and know that you're going to lose control at some point and you're going to become a version of yourself you don't recognize, that you aren't aware of. It's like this kind of going into the dark, not the dark, like bad dark, but just the depths dark of yourself.
So really facing your fears, as you were saying, and having a look at that during the pregnancy, during this transformational time, because when it comes to birth, if some things haven't been faced or looked at, they might pop up during the pregnancy. And while you give birth, you've got other things to do, but to have to go and face your fears.
Absolutely.
And have you been using doula? Is there been a role with doula around your births?
Yeah, I've actually had doulas at four of my births. I had one with my home birth with a midwife. And then I had a friend in a doula role during my first free birth. And I mean, mainly she made me food and she gave me water to drink and she took some pictures and she was really just there as some extra set of hands. My husband always jokes that we hired the doula for him because he doesn't want to be juggling too many things at once. He wants to be able to focus on me, focus on the things I need him to do. And that has changed from birth to birth. So in my first free birth, he and my first home birth, he was very hands-on. He was using Rebozo to help me during contractions. He was in the pool with me, very, very hands-on. And then in my third free birth, my second free birth, my fourth birth, he was we had a doula, but she didn't make it in time. I went very fast with that labor and I didn't call her in time. And my husband kept telling me, we need to call her. And I'm like, no, it's going to be some time. And then he called her because he knew my signs. He knew I was very close. And she arrived just a few minutes after the baby had been born. But he was running around trying to get all the supplies and everything put together because it was very fast. And so that was very fun. But then in my fifth and sixth labors, I didn't really want to be touched. I was just very deep inside myself. And so I was having him be very hands off. And I had a birth photographer for my fifth, but not a doula. And then for my sixth, I had both. I had a filmographer doing a video for my birth, and I had a doula. And my husband was filling the birth pool with my sixth, and he was, we actually had a hole in the birth pool, so it kept deflating, and he had to keep pumping it up with air, which was, it was so intense. But my doula was able to step into the role of supporting me while he was trying to figure out how to keep the pool full. And so we've always appreciated having someone there immediately after my birth, mainly. So like even my birth where I just had a birth photographer, having a person there who could hold the baby for just a moment while my husband helped me, or could help us clean up the effects of birth and after the birth, and has really been wonderful. So I think I'd rather not, for me, be completely alone or just with my husband even. I like having someone there just to help with the processes of afterwards. I can do the birth. I don't need anyone to catch my baby. I don't need anyone to be checking me. I need somebody just to help us clean up and make us some food.
So it's unassisted birth, in the fact that you don't need somebody about the birth. But when this birth arriving, there's so many things to be thinking about.
So yes, so many.
Free and in the process, you need people and support around you that takes over all these other tasks.
Mm-hmm. I think in our society, we place so much emphasis on the birth and then we abandon mothers immediately after. And it really ought to be opposite, where we allow mothers the freedom of whatever they need during their birth experience. And then we show up in postpartum and we are there and we are, you know, making the food and we are cleaning for her and we are watching her, their children. And we are, you know, we really need to reverse roles, I think, in our society with that, and put the emphasis on supporting her after she's had the baby, and less so controlling the process up until she has the baby.
Because it is really a hole. And I think it's a hole in all our modern cultures. So there is an expression that says we need a village to raise a children, and
yes,
these next 40 days after birth are so important for the next 40 years in a woman's life. But at the minute there's a hole. So how have you been managing on your side?
This postpartum has been really good. My husband is a teacher here, and the timing of our sixth baby's birth lined up with his holiday break in December. And so he took a week off of work, and then he had 2.5 weeks of holiday break. And so I had almost a full, just like 25 days of him being home. And here in the States, unfortunately, paternity leave is almost non-existent. And so that's like, In previous births, I've gotten 3 days with him home. And then it's just me back at it. the more children I have, the harder that gets to do. And so I was supremely grateful. I was able to actually stay in bed for, it was my first postpartum where I could stay in bed for a solid week. And I didn't have any other responsibility beside my baby and feeding her and showing her to the family and just assimilating back into my body and assimilating the experience we just had. And we had a lot of people bring us food, which was wonderful. And I had also prepared a lot of meals beforehand. So it was just our family getting to know each other all over again. And it was such a good time. And I wish every woman could experience it where they get, especially that first week, if we could get women getting that first week or two fully supported with another adult in the home, that would be having a phenomenal impact on society as a whole and our mental health.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because these 40 days, as the saying says, it is important for the 40 next years. So I love when you say that we stop bothering women kind of during the pregnancy and that we move shift that attention towards when she really needs it to adapt and transform to her new mother role. In your form, you also shared the importance of magnesium.
Yeah, magnesium was a supplement I have taken throughout my pregnancies. It's been really key. And most of us are depleted in magnesium. It's not something that, and a lot of times it comes from the dark leafy greens. And so many of us avoid those in our diet, or we only eat a very small amount. And so we don't get it naturally as easily as we could. So it's definitely something I take in pregnancy. It's especially helpful for muscle relaxation and constipation, and also just an overall feeling for me, an overall feeling of wellness and like stability. Taking it with B vitamins is so essential because, again, that's another thing where we're very depleted on a lot of the time. So magnesium is definitely one of the supplements that I recommend to any pregnant woman. Needs magnesium for sure.
Amazing.
And I just take, I take a powder in my water and just mix it in. Other people prefer like a lotion because your body can actually absorb it very easily. And can usually sometimes absorb it more easily through the skin than through your digestive tract. So again, it kind of comes back to the intuition. What do you need? My body responded very well to drinking it, so I didn't feel like I needed a lotion. But and then there's many different kinds of magnesium. So researching and finding the one that's right for your body is very wise to do.
Cool. Great. Very important. Well, before we finish the interview, I would like to share this, the quote you shared with me. Would you like to share it?
Oh, I don't have it in front of me.
You said, creativity takes courage, from Henri Matisse. Would you like to tell us more about it? Because absolutely. But
I mean, I think we can all agree that especially pregnancy and birth are creative processes. We are creating all through those experiences. And I think so many women, because the creation is invisible and you can't see it and you don't think you have control over it because it seems like a biological process that just happens on its own. And yet we have so much more influence over that experience than we think. And so, you know, creativity is an essential component of humanity. And if your creativity is being stifled, then your power is gone. That creativity, you could also phrase it as like agency, your ability to act as an agent, your ability to act and create your life. So yeah, there's absolutely so much power in that. And I tell women to own that and to you know, whether I could really care less if you give birth in the hospital, if you give birth at home, if you give birth with a midwife, if you give birth, you know, standing on your head, whatever you choose for your birth, I could care less, because what is most important to me is that you have the ability to utilize your creativity, your ability to choose, and your ability to create your reality. And if what you want to create includes a hospital birth, then go and create that and be supported in that. If what you want to create is a birth with dolphins in the ocean, go and create that and be there, you know, for that, and show up in your own life to get what you want to have. And no more excuses that you don't have the power to create it, because you do. You have the power, and you can create anything in your life. Anything that you are drawn towards, you have the ability to create. And so I tell women to do that, to go for that.
That's beautiful. Show up in your life. You have yes. the power to create anything you want. Thank you. Thank you, Bree, for your time.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
That was an amazing interview. Lots of very interesting information.
It's been a pleasure.
The episode is now finished. I really hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is here for you. Please contact me to give feedback, suggestions, and themes that you would like that we discuss. You can find out all the information from my guests and my contacts in the text underneath the episode. I believe that it is together that we go further. So please help me to connect with a maximum of pregnant couples to support them in their enlightened choices. Go on Apple Podcasts, find the podcast Authentic Birth, scroll down to the bottom of the page and find the section Ratings and Reviews. Click on the number of stars that you would like to give to support the podcast. 5 is the best to diffuse the message further. Looking forward to seeing you on the next episode. And in the meantime, look after yourself. Each birth is unique. May yours be truly authentic.